This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
Jensen?
Anything, Captain Ross.
We're bound in. Have him on halfway through the window of the wheelhouse.
Well, we'll see the Rocky Island Lighthouse in a minute or two. Find our way into the tunnel.
But we'll find nothing but reefs without the light, Captain.
Reefs and deep water just in front of them.
Even with the light, it's going to take a true course to get us in without running aground.
The tunnel's directly north of the Rocky Island Lighthouse, Mr. Jensen. We'll enter the tunnel with the light on our port side. There she is now, Mr. Jensen.
Aye. What a blessed sight. We've been off our course. I'll adjust that.
Paper steady, Mr. Jensen.
Aye, sir. No problem now. We'll have our cargo safe in an hour.
Aye. And it'll be a long time before we carry so much of value in our hold again.
That's not at all now, sir. The lighthouse is practically telling us we're safe and sound now.
I think I'll go for it.
We've been on the reef!
Look out!
Sound the alarm!
All hands on deck!
All hands on deck!
Up and on!
Ship abandoned!
Up and on!
Ship abandoned!
Up and on!
And now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Aye, Mr. Kingston, I know it was tough for you to lose that ship last night. But you'll have to admit this is the first ship of mine you've ever lost.
That's true, Captain Ross. But so far this year I've lost four ships. And all in nearly the same spot. And all the same way. And all carrying valuable cargo. How could you possibly run on the reef to the south of the Rocky Island Lighthouse when you were passing the north of it at the time?
I don't know, Mr. Kingston. Unless we drifted south before we sank. When we came ashore after we abandoned ship, we steered straight for the beach and landed south of the light.
Impossible. That's the same story I heard from the captain of every ship I've lost. I don't believe a one of you. Were you north of the light at the time of the crash, or weren't you?
Aye. We seemed to be north of the light when we crashed. North of it when we sank. But the spot where we went down is south of the light. I checked on it this morning. I saw a part of the crushed hull on the reef.
Then you steered a course into the channel south of the Rocky Island Light.
No, Mr. Kingston, absolutely not. I'd stake my reputation we were north of the light.
Oh, it's impossible. Come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Kingston.
Yes, Miss Underwood.
Mr. Lawrence from Deepwater Salvage Company is on the phone.
Yes, I know what he wants. Tell Lawrence he can have the job. He's always done a good one for me, but don't tell him I said that.
No, Mr. Kingston, I won't tell him.
You see what this crash is costing me already, Captain Ross. I have to give a salvage company 60% of whatever cargo can be saved. And the ship, of course, is a total loss. I'd rather have the ship than the insurance. And I think I'd better have ship captains that can tell north from south.
Mr. Kingston, maybe the Rocky Island Lighthouse was out.
If it was, what light did you see?
The ghost light, Mr. Kingston.
Ghost light?
On the cliff above the reefs. There used to be a lighthouse there. The place where we ran on the reefs is just a little to the north of where the old lighthouse was.
What?
Before it was washed into the sea, the lighthouse keeper with it. The lighthouse was lost, and so was he.
Of all the ridiculous things I ever heard,
may sound foolish, Mr. Kingston. But it's the only possible thing that can explain how we would crash south of the Rocky Island Lighthouse when we were north of it all the time. The ghost light, Mr. Kingston. and members of my crew are not the first to be taken to the bottom of the sea.
You lost some of your crew, Captain Ross?
Yes.
You didn't tell me how many.
Three. They were caught below deck in the crash.
Captain Ross, I can tolerate misjudgment. I can almost tolerate stories of ghost life. But when some of my employees are killed...
They were killed through no fault of mine or of my pilot, Mr. Kingston. We were north of the Rocky Island Lighthouse when we crashed.
All right. You were north. But something's crazy somewhere, and three men are dead. I don't know why, but this sounds like murder to me, and I'm calling my friend Boston Blackie. You believe the light here on Rocky Island wasn't working last night, eh, Blackie?
I don't believe anything yet, Charlie. Not till we investigate. I guess we can tie up to this lighthouse landing, can we?
Yeah, I'll handle the landing, Blackie. I'll tie the launch up with a half hitch.
You might also use a rope, Mary.
If Faraday were here, he wouldn't have an answer for that either.
I'll tie the boat, Mary. You can get up on the landing.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Oh, what a beautiful lighthouse.
I suppose you'd like to live in it.
Uh-huh, would I? But I put different curtains in the windows.
And a lace shade and tassel on the light, I suppose.
Well, I don't know about the tassel. Oh, look, there's the lighthouse keeper's daughter. There's always one, isn't there?
If you mean the woman in the doorway there, the lighthouse keeper must be 80. This woman's an easy 60.
If there is such a thing as an easy 60.
No sightseers allowed out here. This is government property.
The only sight we want to see is the lighthouse keeper. And we have government permission. Here's our pass.
Oh. What do you want to see him for?
We just want to ask him a few questions about an accident on the reef near here last night.
The ship that sank down yonder?
That's right. Tell your husband we'd like to see him, will you?
What makes you think I'm his wife? I didn't say so.
Just imagine you were.
Well, I am, but I don't like things taken for granted.
Well, may we see him, please?
He isn't here. He's gone to the mainland for supplies.
Oh, I see. Anyone else out here?
No, only me.
We thought we saw somebody up in the tower as we came out here in the launch just now.
Nobody's up there.
We'd like to look, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't. Okay, go ahead. Stairs are right there.
It's going to be some climb. You want to stay here, Charlie?
No, I'll go up with you.
Oh, I think I'll stay here, though.
They say steps are good for the figure, Mary.
Oh, what's wrong with my figure?
If Faraday were here, he couldn't answer that either. See you in a little while. Come on, Charlie. It's a long, slow climb, but I'll bet the view is good when we get up there.
You'll have to excuse me, miss, but I have chores to do, whether there's company here or not.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. I'll just stand here in the door and admire the view.
When you've looked at it as long as I have, there's nothing you admire about it. Always the same. Always the same.
Yes?
Frank, it's Lena. There's some men coming up to see you.
Why did you let them come up?
Well, I tried to tell them you weren't up there, but they saw you, and I couldn't stop them. They have a pass. They want to talk to you.
What about? Do you know? It's
about that ship that sank on the Devil's Reef last night.
I was afraid of that. Thanks. Thanks for telling me.
How high is this lighthouse, anyway?
I don't know, Blackie. I lost count of the steps two landings ago.
Well, here's another landing. The next to the last one, I hope.
Oh, that's right.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's a good thing you did. I don't have breath enough to say them.
I know what you mean.
Well, we've got to be able to talk to the lighthouse keeper when we get up there. And I think he is there, despite what his wife said. What's his name again?
The Port Authority people said it was Harlow, Frank Harlow.
Oh, yes, Harlow. Hey, here's a little window.
Ooh.
Hey, take a look out here. Nice view.
Yes, except for that ship out there in front of the reef.
Is that where your ship went down last night?
Yes, that's the ship from the Deepwater Salvage Company going to work on it already.
They don't lose any time, do they?
Well, it's better not to, Blackie. Some cargo can't take too much salt water.
That's right. Well, I guess I wasn't thinking... Good night, what's that?
Did you see something drop past the window?
Yes, and I hope it's not what I think it is.
Can you see the ground from up here?
Well, I have to lean out the window a little more. Whatever. Uh-oh.
What is it, Blackie?
You mean, what was it, Charlie? It was a man. Right now, it's just a body wrecked on the rock.
Oh, Frank. Frank, Now, please, Mrs. Harlow, come away from the rocks. Blackie and Mr. King will be down here in just a minute. And they'll...
Oh, he's dead. He's dead.
Yes, I know, Mrs. Harlow, he's dead. There's nothing you can do for him now. Come on inside with me. I'm here, Blackie.
Terrible thing that just happened. I can't tell you how sorry we are about this unfortunate accident, Mrs. Harlow.
It wasn't an accident. It wasn't.
Well, I don't see how it could be anything else, Mrs. Harlow. We hadn't reached the top of the tower when he fell, but... He was alone up there, wasn't he?
Yes, I lied to you before. He was up there alone, but this isn't an accident. This is murder. They killed him. They killed him.
Who was they, Mrs. Harlow?
Yes, I don't dare, but they killed him. They did it. They did it.
He's hysterical from the shock, Blackie.
He's hysterical, all right. There's nobody up in the tower now. But there's a reason that man fell, and that's the reason I'm going to send for Inspector Faraday. The police might be able to throw a little light on why this man fell from this lighthouse.
I'm sorry it took me so long to get here, Blackie, but I can't rush away from headquarters on every accident case.
Anytime you rush, it's an accident, Faraday.
Amusing.
But listen, this is the light tower here. Yeah. Mrs. Harlow says her husband didn't fall from up here by accident, but there was nobody else here.
Who pushed him, then? You or Charlie Kingston?
I never push people out of lighthouses, but in your case, I'll be glad to make an exception.
No.
We weren't up here yet, Faraday. We were still one landing below. Now, here's the window we went out of.
Look, this is strictly an accident case, Blackie. Or a suicide if he was alone.
He was alone, all right. Only Harlow and his wife worked at the lighthouse. The only two people on the island.
Hey, look, I didn't see any wife when I landed. Only Miss Wesley downstairs. Where's Mrs. Harlow now?
Charlie took her ashore and left her with some of Mrs. Harlow's relatives in the city. You can talk to her later. Let's see what evidence of murder there might be around here.
There's none, and you know it. This is just another of your little schemes to waste my time. Look, there's a scuff mark on the window ledge where he climbed out.
I see it.
Look here. Here's the reason he fell. He was hanging out the window here by his hands when a piece of the ledge broke away. Look, see, it's all rotted.
Yeah.
Great when I touch. A guy falls to death because he was hanging out a window and the window gave way. And the great Boston Blackie called it murder.
I didn't call it murder until Mrs. Harlow insisted it was.
She's out of her mind. And Harlow must be out of his to hang out a window way up here. What was he doing that for?
He was probably trying to hide from Charlie Kingston and me.
Look, I want to hide from you too, but I don't hang out of windows 100 feet in the air. What did he want to hide for?
Probably to keep from answering our questions about why Charlie Kingston ship crashed on the reef down there last night.
Down where?
Oh, over there. There, to your right. Where the salvage ship is now.
Huh?
That's a ship from the Deepwater Salvage Company that Charlie hired to save some of his cargo. 3 men were drowned when Charlie's ship went down last night, and I...
What was the ship doing way down there? That's south of here, and the channel's north of us. Couldn't I see this light?
You saw a light all right, Barney, but it was down that way, and this one was out. Or at least that's what the captain's story was. And that's what we came to check into. That's the only thing that would explain why...
I'll get it. Most probably Sergeant Matthews running from below. I told him to let me know if we've got any reports on that police on the green room.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, Inspector Faraday. This is Mary Wesley.
Yes, I know it, Miss Wesley.
Look, Inspector, Sergeant Matthews just scaled up to the boat that there's been a shooting in town.
That's fine. And I'm out here because a ship sinks last night and a man falls out of a window today. Who's been shot?
A man named Lawrence. And, you know, it's the funniest thing.
What's so funny about it?
Well, there's a Deepwater Salvage Company boat out where Charlie's ship sank last night.
So?
And the man who's just been shot is head of that company.
Now, back to Boston Blackie. Though it was steering a fog-bound course into the safety of the channel north of Rocky Island Lighthouse, one of wealthy Charlie Kingston's cargo ships crashes and sinks against the reefs south of the light. This is the fourth of Kingston's ships to be lost in this manner. Because he is Kingston's friend, Blackie goes to the lighthouse to investigate. But before he can talk to the keeper of the light, the keeper falls to his death from the tower. It's obviously an accident. But the dead man's wife says it's murder. Later, a man named Lawrence, head of the company salvaging Kingston's ship, is shot. And as we return to our story, Blackie and Inspector Faraday are with the wounded man at his home.
Who shot you, Lawrence?
I told you before, Inspector Faraday. It was an accident. I shot myself.
We know it was your gun that shot you, Lawrence, but tell us who pulled the trigger.
I did, Blackie, I did.
You'd have to be a contortionist to shoot yourself the way you've been shot.
Well, then I'm a contortionist.
I tell you, I shot myself.
I can tell he's not going to change his story, Faraday. Come on, let's get out of here. Try some other time.
Okay. Lawrence, if you're shielding someone, I'll find out who it is.
I'm not shielding anyone.
Maybe he's telling the truth, Faraday, and you'll find out about that, too.
You'd believe anybody, as long as I said I didn't believe him, wouldn't you?
Oh.
Hey, Tommy. Tommy.
Yes, Lance?
Say, I'm going. Oh, how'd you keep old Mrs. Harlow so quiet?
I showed him a gun. It acts just like a muzzle.
Bring her in, huh?
Yeah. Come on, you. Mr. Lance wants to see you.
Sure, I'll see him. I'm not afraid. Go ahead and kill me. Kill me just the way you killed my husband.
We didn't kill your husband, Mrs. Harlow. He killed himself. Accidentally, of course. But the fool shouldn't have tried to hide by hanging out the lighthouse window.
But you made him do it. If he hadn't let you talk him into turning out the light in the lighthouse so those ships could be wrecked, he wouldn't have been afraid to talk to Boston Blackie. Yeah. When are you going to kill me?
What makes you think I am?
Because I tried to kill you. And I'd shoot you again if you left your gun around and if I had the chance.
You're not going to get the chance. You're going to stay tied up and stay here, too. Until we decide what to do with you. Put her back in the other room, Tommy.
Yeah, Miss Lance. Get back in here, you. Don't try to yell for help. Because the boys in there got orders to strangle if you do.
Don't worry, I won't.
What do you think we ought to do with him, Miss Lance?
I don't know yet, Tommy. We have more important things to do first. There's another ship coming in tonight.
Got a good load, huh?
Too good a load to let it get away from us. And I got a weather report. It's going to be plenty foggy out there tonight, too.
Well, let's get the ship, huh? You can get the salvage job on it, can't you?
Well, this is another one of Kingston's ships. I don't know why I shouldn't get it. Kingston seems to like my work.
Okay, let's get it. You know what time it's coming in and everything?
Everything, Tommy. I'll tell you what. We'll put our light a little further south this time, so we don't sink this baby right on top of the job we're working on.
Okay. I say, you willing up to go with me, huh?
Oh, sure, sure. I wasn't shot as badly as I told the police.
Okay, if you say so. Hey, but wait, there's a complication on the job tonight.
The new man at the lighthouse, you mean?
Yeah. What do we do, buy the guy out the way we did Harlow?
No, no, there isn't time. Now, I'll tell you what. Have a couple of the boys cut the power and phone lines to the lighthouse on the mainland before we go down shore to our portable lights.
Hey, that sounds like a swell idea. Well, Mr. Lance, looks like we're getting richer by the minute, huh?
Yes, Tommy. Guys like Kingston owns them, but our ships are coming in.
Heavy fog tonight, gentlemen.
Yes, but we should be sighting the Rocky Island Lighthouse pretty soon, and it'll guide us into the channel.
The fog's almost too thick for that light, sir.
Yet it helps to be solid to hide the Rock Island beam, Mr. Jenkins.
Aye, sir, would it that? I sure wish we'd sight it.
We're still a little too far out. Another 10 minutes and we'll see it, though.
I'd hate to try to find the channel without it, Captain Wheels. I don't want to end my days on Devil's Reef.
No, Mr. Kingston wouldn't want to lose another cargo on Devil's Reefs, and neither would I, but I suddenly have a strange feeling that we're going to have trouble with those reefs.
Blackie, we're going to spend all night out there at the lighthouse.
We're going to get out there and stay out there until Charlie's ship comes through. At least that long, Mary.
Well, I certainly appreciate your interest in my ship, Blackie.
Oh, I just want to make sure you don't lose two ships in two nights, Charlie.
Yeah, and you want to make sure I lose sleep, don't you?
You're always asleep, Faraday. If you weren't, you'd know why we have to go out to this lighthouse and what caused Charlie's ship to go on the reef last night.
Even I know what caused that, Blackie. Another light downshore from the lighthouse.
Sure, Mary. Who's ever wrecking these ships sets up a portable light which guides the ships onto the reefs.
And those same people that bribed the lighthouse keeper to turn out the light at Rocky Point.
Right, Charlie. That simple. And I know what's doing it, I think. Everyone sees it, Faraday. Everyone but you.
I see it. And I see the Rocky Point lighthouse, too. It's on tonight.
And we're going to see that it stays on.
Hey, Blackie. Blackie, the light went out.
Right. Gee, it did. So did the lighthouse. Every light in the place is out.
Blackie, my ship's out there in the fog and due to make a run for the channel any minute now.
The light will go back on in a minute.
Oh, no, it won't, Faraday. It wasn't only the beam that went out. It was every light in the tower. That means the power to Rocky Island has been shut off from the mainland.
Well, then we'll have to go back to the mainland and turn it on again.
Won't be that easy, Mary. My guess is the lines have been cut. Charlie, someone's after a ship of yours again tonight.
Well, maybe with no light at all, my ship won't try for the channel.
No light. They wouldn't try, but look down the coast there. Look down there, a couple of miles.
Oh, no, it's not a light.
It's not a firefly.
That light down there is just south of Devil's Reef, Blackie. My ship will be guided right into the rocks, just like the others.
We've got to do something.
We will.
I suppose you know exactly what to do, don't you, Blackie?
Yes, Faraday, I do. We're going to land at Rocky Island. You and I are going to start a fire that will wind up this case in a blaze of glory.
Yeah?
The light of Rocky Island just went out.
Good. Every light in the place, Tommy?
Yeah. Look up there. You can't see a thing.
The boys set the power lines at the mainland just as they were supposed to, didn't they?
Yeah.
What time is it?
Time for that ship to be making by the channel.
Okay. Let's turn on our light and give it something to steer by.
Sure thing.
That's some light we got, huh?
Yeah.
You'd never guess from out at sea that it was just a searchlight on the back of a truck.
It's just like a light out, huh?
I don't care what it looks like as long as it leads that ship of Kingston's on into the reef out there.
There's the Rocky Island light down there.
Oh, yes, Mr. Jenkins, I see it too.
We're off our course, sir. Much too far north to make the channel.
Oh, that's odd. I was sure we were heading straight into it. Better get back on course right away, Mr. Jenkins. We're close to shore.
Aye, aye, sir.
Odd, very odd. If I didn't know better, I'd say that light is several miles south of where it should be.
You can't move a lighthouse, Captain Wills. Much easier to change the course of the ship.
Aye, and I... Mr. Jenkins, look there just north of us.
On fire, sure, Captain Wells.
Yes, sir, a house on fire. It's a pretty big blaze. Mr. Jenkins, what do you see in the light of that fire? Or am I just imagining it?
Why, sir, it's the lighthouse. Yes, well, you can see the whole town in the light of that fire.
It's the Rocky Island lighthouse, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
And we're south of it, and we ought to be north of it. Reverse engines, Mr. Jenkins.
Right.
We've still got time to keep off Devil's Reef.
I hope they see that fire on Rocky Island from Charlie's ship.
And if they don't, they'll see the bottom of the ocean at Devil's Reef.
It sure works hard, breaking up the stuff we set on fire.
Oh, the exercise will do you good. Let's hope it works and they see the fire right on that ship.
Then what? Hey, I see that phony light you were talking about, Mikey. It's out there on the point.
The point is now how to get it out. Will the guys who are operating it stick till we get there?
It's a nice. We ought to be hearing that ship smack up on the reefs pretty soon, huh? I can't miss this light of ours.
Yeah, I thought we'd hear the ship already, Tommy. Must be late.
Well, nothing's gone wrong. Hey.
Huh?
Look at the shoreline there, Mr. Latch. There's a big fire.
Yeah, so there is.
You wonder what's on fire?
I don't know, but what's the difference?
Hey, it's near where the Rocky Island lighthouse is, Mr. Latch. In fact, it's on Rocky Island.
Yeah, say, I think you're right.
Hey, you think the ship will see, huh? Be able to see such a lighthouse?
No, I don't think so. They're looking for a light on that ship, not a bonfire. So let's keep this searchlight blazing good and bright. Pretty soon.
Hey, it's a light! The light's been shut out!
Come, tell me while it's good and dark. Somebody knows we're here.
Somebody sure does, Lauren.
There's an eyes. It's black.
Never mind who it is. Let's get out of here.
Oh, no, I'll take you first, Mike.
You will.
I will.
One down, Blackie.
I want to go.
And he's going to get out of here.
Oh, no, Lauren. You're just going.
Oh. How many down now, Blackie?
Two down, Faraday. And that's all there is. There isn't any more. Well, Mary, I'll tell you this. It's a pleasure to be driving a car tonight and not having to worry about lighthouses and reefs and phony lights. Right, Patty?
I suppose so.
I know what you mean, Blackie. By the way, congratulations on knocking off our friend, Mr. Lawrence. I understand you and the inspector here really had the goods on him, and he confessed.
Well, there wasn't anything else he could do after we caught him and his stooge manipulating that portable light. He did tell us, though, that he had that Mrs. Harlow tied up in his apartment and Faraday did a little rescue work and got her out of there.
Which means that everything is nice and smooth for a change.
Oh, how can anything be smooth or nice with Blackie around?
Faraday, isn't your brain back from this vacation yet?
My mind's working. No, don't you worry about me.
Somebody better. And believe me, you're plenty to worry
about. Well, now, look, both of you, this will have to stop. We're supposed to be having a pleasant evening.
And what's Faraday doing here?
Well, I knew you two were going to dinner. I asked myself along.
Well, why didn't you decline the invitation when you asked yourself? Mary and I would have appreciated that.
Oh, now, Inspector Faraday, Blackie's only kidding. It'll be a pleasure to have you for dinner.
Have him for dinner? Hey, We could have him at that. Half-baked. Half-baked Faraday. And I can't understand that at all.
You can't.
No. Considering all the times I've roasted you.
Oh, Blackie.
To most readers of the daily newspapers, bank robberies are common and rather unmysterious events. But there is on record the strange story of a bank that was robbed without a gun, and apparently without even a robber.
The Midland Bank in Blackpool, England, is what is known as an eminently sound institution. And the only dubious incident which mars its long and honorable record of service is the one that occurred on August 6, 1926. It was on that Saturday, at high noon, when the doorman was just closing the doors, that one of the Midland's regular clients entered the bank with a large bag under his arm. He was Mr. Lloyd Fenwick of the Corporation Tramways Department.
Morning, Mr. Fenwick.
£800 in here, all treasury notes.
I'll make out the slip for you, sir. But you'd better open the bank yourself.
I don't know who else could open it. It's got a new type of lock on it. No one could possibly open it unless they know the secret, and I'm the only one who knows it. I've got another bag out in the motor van with all the silver in it. Safe enough to leave this one on the counter, I suppose.
Oh, yes, of course. Just leave it where it is, then.
As he turned away from the cashier's counter, Mr. Fenwick noticed that the bank was still quite crowded. Nevertheless, since it was now past the noon hour, the doorman had locked the doors to prevent latecomers from entering. As he unlocked them for Mr. Fenwick, the tramway's official remarked,
"No need to lock up again, my friend. I'm coming right back in."
But the doorman was a man of caution. During the few moments that Fenwick was gone, he stood by the closed doors, his hand on the key. When the official returned to the cashier's window, he carried another bag, smaller than the first one, in his hand.
We'll count the treasury notes first, sir, if you don't mind.
Makes no difference to me. Well, give it to me. Your bag with the treasury note. You must have put it away.
I? Oh, no, sir. It's lying right over here where you... Good Lord, sir. It's gone.
Yes, the black leather bag had vanished from the cashier's counter. What's more, it had vanished from the bank itself. The police were summoned, but a most thorough investigation failed to reveal its whereabouts. Fenwick, the cashier, and the police themselves were utterly mystified. At 3 o'clock that same afternoon, Patrolman Cook was strolling down Needham Lane, just a block away from the Midland Bank.
Hello. Someone must have lost a bag.
I say now, could this be the one what's missing from the bank?
Tucking the bag under his arm, Patrolman Cook made his way quickly to the central police station. And there, while one of the officers got in touch with the tramways department, the others took turns trying to open the lock. But the lock refused to yield. They were still working over it when Mr. Fenwick arrived.
This is it, gentlemen. I only hope the money's still there. Well,
the lock's still closed, isn't it? That simply means no one could open it.
None of us here could make the blooming thing work, sir.
No. You just take hold of it like this, see? And you insert the key. Good Scott. The treasury notes. They're not in the bag.
Though every indication pointed to the fact that the bag had not been opened, that it could not possibly have been opened, nevertheless, the money was missing. And while this was remarkable in itself, it was no more remarkable than the bag's disappearance from the bank through a door that was locked and guarded. The £800 were never found. And neither was the solution to the strange mystery. A mystery incredible but true.
The Adventures of the Scarlet Cloak, starring Wendell Niles.
This is a story of the Golden West, as it was more than 100 years ago. A land of mystery and intrigue. A romantic paradise where the dons and senoritas held to their ancient customs while rubbing elbows with rugged American frontiersmen and pioneers. Where lace-trimmed handkerchiefs from Barcelona were carried next to the heart under crude buckskin jackets. The territory was a melting pot, quiet on the surface like the Pacific, but torn with undercurrents and riptides. It was a restless and growing land, where the strong made their own laws and the weak obeyed or perished. This is the saga of Brad Carver, a fabulous man in a fabulous land. Some called him an angel. Some called him a devil, and many claimed that he never lived at all. But the story of Brad Carver is as colorful and exciting as were his roaring guns and flashing rapier as he cut a flaming swath through this glorious land. Our story starts in October of 1842, as a dusty and battered wagon train at the end of the Santa Fe Trail paused within sight of a settlement of 200 people.
Oh, hold your teams, hold them!
Well, we made it, Carver. Los Angeles dead ahead.
So that's Los Angeles. Doesn't look like much, McKeever.
Well, I guess it ain't Boston, Carver. But it's gonna be a mighty big city one day. And it looks good to me right now after 3,000 miles of prairie and engines and mountains and desert.
It still doesn't look like much to me. Well, this is where you and I park, McKeever.
Where are you striking for?
North. Monterey.
I'm heading north myself, San Francisco, as soon as I get these folks in and settled. I'll ride along with you if you're willing.
Sure, McKeever. Thought maybe you'd had enough of me.
Look, Carver, when we started out, you was just another Boston tea drinker to me. But back there on the trail, you proved I was wrong when the going got rough, and I'm admitting it. So do we ride together or don't we?
We ride together, McKeever.
Good. We'll hit the trail as soon as we get the train into town.
Come on! We're moving!
Get up, everybody!
Get up!
I ain't one for asking a man questions, Carver. But you're in a powerful hurry to get to Monterey.
I haven't been there in 20 years. I've got an old score to settle.
Old score? You couldn't have been more than a kid 20 years ago.
I was old enough to remember my home on fire, my mother and father murdered.
I'm sorry, Carver. It can be a bad country. You're lucky they didn't get you.
They would have, except for the loyalty of a Mexican named Sancho who worked for my family. I don't know what happened to him afterwards, but he got me to San Francisco and put me on a ship that took me to my father's people in Boston.
You know who murdered your folks?
No. They rode in at night with their faces covered. My father wounded the leader through the shoulder with a rapier, and one of the mob stabbed him in the back. I've got to find the leader.
Well, it won't be easy. He may be dead by now.
He may be. But if he isn't, he'll carry a rapier mark on his shoulder. If that man is alive, McKeever, I'm going to find him and kill him.
Now I know why we've been knocking on these ponies.
We'll switch mounts at the next station. I want to stay on the trail all night and make Monterey by dawn.
All right. Get up there, boy. The house? Near that grove of trees?
Yes. What's left of it. My mother and father are buried in the grove down there. That's the only news of them I ever had. Well, goodbye, McKeever.
If I thought I could help...
Thanks. It's my fight. I want to go down into the grove and be alone for a while.
If you ever come up to San Francisco...
I'll look you up. I promise.
Goodbye, and good luck.
Goodbye, McKeever.
Get up there, boy. Take care of yourself,
Carver. J. Carver. 1785-1822. Priscilla Carver, 1795-1822. Dear Lord, blessed be their memory.
Senor, what are you doing here?
I just come to place the flowers on the grave, Senor. These people, they were my friends.
Sancho, you must be Sancho.
Si, Senor, I am Sancho. But I do not recall ever seeing this senor before.
Sancho, you remember me. I'm Brad Carver.
Bradito? You are the little Brad Carver? Oh, senor Brad.
Don't call me senor, not you, Sancho. I knew I'd find you.
Oh, I prayed this would happen. I have been living in the ruins of the old house. But you should not be near the house. You must go away from here. For a long time, they tried to find you. The men used to come at night.
But that was years ago. They wouldn't know me now.
Seeing you near the old house, they might suspect. A stranger come from nowhere. A stranger of your age. No, Bradito, you must go. They would kill you as they killed your father.
That's why I'm back, Sancho. Because they killed my father. And I'm going to stay.
Then you must go into town like any other stranger. Hey, there is an inn. The Inn of San Bonaventure. You must also change your name. You cannot use the name of Carver in Monterey.
You're right. At the inn, I'll be Senor Bradford.
Bueno, but we must not stand here talking. A rider might pass. Come, Bradito, I lead your horse. Eh?
But you said being near the house is dangerous.
No, we do not go to the house. I will show you something that you never saw before, even when you were a little boy. Hey, through the grove and behind these bushes. Eh?
But this is the base of a cliff. It's solid rock.
No, not solid, Bradito. Here, you help me push this big rock here. Huh?
All right. It's a cave.
Si, but even without the rock, the bushes hide the entrance. Hey, it's best now to leave it open in case you should need shelter suddenly.
Let's go in.
Wait, I strike a light for you. Now you take the torch from the wall.
Sancho, these things, I remember them from the house.
Si, Bradito. I say what I could so that one day you could have them. Here, look over here. The portraits of your mother and your father.
I never knew this cave existed. Nobody ever told me.
Your father wished it so. Only he and I knew. Si. I see now by the portrait your resemblance to him.
My father.
Si.
You know, Sancho, I never believed that anything could happen to him. He was strong, and that gave me faith. And you gave me more faith with your fairy tales.
No, I never told you fairy tales, Bradito.
You don't remember. The stories about El Diablo, the devil himself, and the Scarlet Cloak who came riding at night to punish the wicked. It's too bad your El Diablo wasn't around the night my father was killed, Sancho. A child builds up a lot of hope in a legend.
Redito, El Diablo was not a legend. He defended the good against the bad.
Perhaps you're right. And stories are told often enough, people begin to believe them.
No, they were not just stories. I did not deceive you. Turn and look at the wall behind you.
Masks. Masks in the image of the devil.
See, and beneath the masks, a trunk. Open it.
Sancho.
Open it, Bradito. I know the truth.
Scarlet cloak, black sombrero, and a rapier.
Do you remember, Bradito, when you were a little child? Bad men who did bad things in this land. Then one morning they would be found dead wearing the mask of the devil who had come to claim them. That was the work of El Diablo. And he lived in Monterrey while your father lived. Because, Bradito, your father was El Diablo.
El Diablo?
Si.
And that's why he was killed. Because they found out that he stood in the way of their robbing and plundering.
And they were strong enough to destroy him, and they will also destroy you. Bradito, you must go away, please.
No, Sancho. This cave is mine now. And so is my father's rapier.
But you have been raised in Boston. What do you know of such a weapon?
I lived in Europe, too, Sancho. I fenced with the greatest swordsmen in the world. Fenced with them until I could beat them. Because I knew that someday I must come back here to kill a man with a rapier. Now I have to find that man. Sancho, if I need you, I'll come here. But if you ever need me, ask for Senor Bradford at the Inn of St. Bonaventure.
You slept well, Senor Bradford?
Yes, very well. Say, what is that mob doing outside? Some kind of celebration?
No, senor, there is much trouble. American gunboats from your country there on the harbor of Monterrey have taken down the Mexican flag and put up the American colors.
Oh, I don't believe it. Not unless there's war.
We have heard nothing of a war, but they say other nations would like to seize California.
Oh, that's no secret. Half the world is after this territory.
I am Mexican, senor. But Mexico is weak, and his land is too big. Many of us would welcome the American flag. It is our hope for peace.
That mob outside doesn't seem to agree with you.
That mob outside is not led by Mexicans, senor. It is led by Americans.
Oh, really?
Si.
Say, at times I don't return for the night, think nothing of it. But if I'm ever gone for more than two nights, there's a note for one of your countrymen under my pillow. Please deliver it.
Si, senor. Muchas gracias.
See them change. They say they brought them gunboats in to protect the country. Protect it from what? I don't see nobody else trying to grab it. They're going to get more than they bargained for. I got men riding in from all over the countryside, men with guts and guns. Are you going to join them? Here comes some of them now. Girl, cross the room. Look out, Ben.
I'll get her.
That was fast moving, stranger.
She's fainted. Somebody get some water from the...
Thank you, Charlie. Right. That gal's Maria Alvarez. There'll be the devil to pay for this.
There's always the devil to pay when a mob like this cuts loose.
Yeah, but this just isn't a girl, stranger. This is the niece of Don Ramon de la Torres, the richest man in California.
Thanks. Come on, miss. Drink this.
Que paso.
A horseman almost ran you down.
Yes, would have, too, if this fella hadn't grabbed you.
Oh, gracias. I will be all right now.
Let my horse through. Let me through. Maria, what has happened?
I was almost trampled, but this gentleman has saved me. My uncle, Don Ramon de la Torres. Senor?
Bradford.
I am most grateful, Senor Bradford. Who were the horsemen?
It isn't the horsemen you want. Some madman named Daggett has been inciting this mob, or it wouldn't have happened.
Daggett!
I'm here, Don Ramon.
Stand back! Clear a path for my horse! Who gave you the right to endanger the lives of the people of Monterrey? Have you appointed yourself governor of this territory?
They changed the flag at the customs house and we don't
And
like
you will let the officials determine what action is to be taken. Disperse this crowd at once, or I shall ask the governor to place you under arrest.
All right. I guess we made a mistake, man. The governor's job.
If you cannot stay in town peacefully, get out. Now move on. Move on, all of you.
You should not have come into town, my dear. Daggett is an impetuous fool.
I am all right, thanks to Senor Bradford. I have invited him to visit with us this evening.
By all means. You will be most welcome, Senor. And we shall try to erase this sad impression of Monterrey.
It's not Monterrey I'm worried about, Don Ramon. It's that man Daggett. He was planning to lead an attack on the customs house tonight.
Well, please, do not be so concerned. The mob has scattered. They will drink and gamble, and by night they will have forgotten. Now come, Maria. I will take you home. Adios, Senor Bradford.
Adios, Senor. Until tonight?
Until tonight.
Sancho.
I am here, Bratit.
There's trouble in town.
I know. I was there this morning. Senor Daggett finds their anger.
He was stopped by Don Ramon de la Torres. But I think he still plans to go through with an attack.
I do not think there will be an attack. Not in the town. If there is one, it will be out here in the country.
In the country?
See?
I don't understand.
Well, the American ships have cannon. They have also taken the cannon in the customs house. And Daggett knows that. An attack would be hopeless.
But why is he bringing in armed men from all over the countryside?
Well, perhaps to leave the countryside itself unprotected. Do you remember Don Castillo and the Senora, your father's old friends and neighbors?
Oh, of course I do.
They have been receiving threats. Somebody wishes to drive them from their land. There has been no open attack against them because they have more than 30 men working on their place. But tonight, Bradito, Daggett will have those men in town. The old couple will be alone.
You're right, Sancho. But they won't be alone.
Oh, Bradito, you're our only one man. It would take the devil himself.
That's what I mean. El Diablo, the devil himself. Tonight I wear my father's scarlet cloak, black sombrero, and his rapier. If the Castillo Hacienda is attacked, it will be protected, just as it would have been 20 years ago, by El Diablo.
Let's take just a minute now to mention one or two of the many advantages this program provides for an astute advertiser. It's a Western-type story, utilizing the basic success pattern of galloping horses, gunfights, and high adventure. However, through its authenticity, believability, and imaginative presentation, we have widened its appeal to attract the young and the adult audience. The locale of Monterrey 100 years ago, which will be kept historically accurate, revives the romantic flavor of beautiful señoritas, colorful habits and costumes, old-world weapons such as the rapier, and interesting characters of Spanish, English, Mexican, and American origin. It gives you a dramatic, exciting radio program, but is even more suited to a filmed television series. The performers have been selected for their ability and experience, and also for their appearance, so that the television picture will bring you most of the same people you are hearing on this record. Our star for both the radio and television programs probably has talked to more people more often than any man who ever lived. The name of Wendell Niles is familiar to everyone. For 20 years, he has announced and performed several times a week on the highest-rated radio shows. The name is already universally associated with a pleasant, sincere, convincing voice. Through these programs, we now associate that familiar name with a likable, virile, adventurous personality who will quickly spring to life in the hearts of millions of Americans. As you listen to the second act, imagine, if you will, a television screen where you can watch this believable, exciting, romantic man of action, the wearer of the scarlet cloak and rapier, as he rides against the evil to bring hope to the oppressed.
Returning to Monterrey after a 20-year absence, Brad Carver has learned that his murdered father was the legendary El Diablo, protector of the weak and helpless. Through his father's old friend and servant, Sancho,
He also learns that an attack by night riders is planned against the neighboring hacienda. Donning the scarlet cloak, black sombrero, and rapier that his father wore, Brad and Sancho ride to a hill overlooking the threatened hacienda.
The lamps of the hacienda are out for some time now.
And still no signs of a raid.
They would wait for sleep to come in the house.
I hope you're right.
Oh, Bradito, I bless myself. Here in the moonlight with your father's cloak and sombrero, I feel that once again I ride with El Diablo.
Let's hope the raiders feel the same, Sancho.
There may be many of them.
We'll have help. Come on.
Where do we go?
Down to the corrals to release the livestock.
You have a plan?
Yes. If they expect no resistance, they'll take the easy approach to the hacienda. That means they'll ride in on the road from town and across the bridge that forks the stream down there.
See, that is the way they should come.
Now, we'll herd the oxen and cattle and horses into that blind pass between the hills, just this side of the bridge. When they approach from the other side, I'll charge the bridge. From there on, it's up to you.
Bueno, just tell me what to do.
I want you to stampede the herd behind me. Drive them toward the bridge. In this light, with the sound of the stampede, they won't know what's coming at them. They'll scatter and run.
Here is the main corral.
Move them out as quietly as possible. I'll get the horses from the stables. You drive them into the blind pass, and I'll meet you there.
I hear something, Bradito.
Horsemen, about 10 of them.
Look, coming over the hills. They're carrying torches.
Good. They're on the road to the bridge. Just as they approach the far side, I'll make my right. Turn the stock toward the bridge and stampede them behind me. Then keep after them and keep them moving.
See, I understand. And Locke ride with you. El Diablo.
Here they come. When you get across the bridge, cut into the hills. I'll double back and meet you near the old mission.
See, be careful, Bradito.
Now's the time, Sancho. Adios. Oh, boy. Sancho?
Here, Bradito. I am here.
Are you all right?
Si. All but my leg. I was caught for a little while in the stampede. It was just squeezed a little, that's all.
I told you to stay behind the herd.
Si, I know, but I wanted to be closer to you in case they made a fight. Oh, but you were just like your father. Just like him. They were frightened.
I'll help you back to the cave.
No. You must not go there. Tonight you must be in the company of others, so they will not suspect.
But I can't leave you while you're injured.
Bradito, you have taken your father's place. El Diablo returns on the same day a stranger comes to the town. They could make much of this unless you spend the evening with others.
Yes. Senorita Maria, the niece of Don Ramon de la Torres, invited me to call.
Ah, bueno, then you must go there. He is known and respected. It will be perfect. I will take the cloak and sombrero and the rapier. Ah, now you are once again Senor Bradford. A stranger who stops at the inn of San Bonaventure.
My niece plays that music box incessantly, Senor Bradford. I am afraid we are poor competition.
It is so new and exciting, and has come all the way from Paris.
Yes, I know. I've seen them there.
You have been to Paris?
Our Senor Bradford seems to have seen a great deal of the world.
I was in Europe about 2 years ago.
I thought I noted traces of European culture. Do you fence, Senor?
A little. It's part of a gentleman's training.
Excellent. I enjoy the sport. We must try it someday.
It is fortunate for me I have the music box to entertain me.
Oh, forgive me, my dear. I have been monopolizing the conversation. Now I have some work in my study. I will leave you alone. Why don't you show Senor Bradford the gardens?
Perhaps the senor wouldn't care to.
I'd like to see the gardens.
They are very lovely.
Adios, Senor Bradford. You must honor us again.
My pleasure, sir.
You must find Monterey different from your native Boston, Senor.
Different in many ways.
Do you plan to stay here for a time?
Do you think I should?
I'm sure my wishes would not influence a man who has seen so much of the world. Will your family join you here?
No, an aunt and uncle in Boston are the only family I have.
Oh, I have not known many Americans. The man I am engaged to marry is an official of the Mexican government. Our families arranged it when we were both children.
Oh, I see. I hope he isn't riding the horse that's headed this way.
No, he's in Mexico. That is probably some friend of my uncle's coming to play chase.
Good. Because I want to stay here a while longer, Maria. I'm very much taken with this garden.
That is nice to know, Senor.
You fool, why do you come here?
Let me in. I had to see you right away.
Did something go wrong at the Castillo Hacienda?
Did something go wrong? Everything went wrong. We were driven off by El Diablo. He's back.
Taggart, have you been drinking? El Diablo has been dead for 20 years.
Well, he wasn't dead tonight. I saw him as clearly as I'm seeing you.
You let yourself be frightened by an apparition? I tell you, the man is dead. You saw him die.
Yeah? Well, maybe we were wrong. Maybe we killed the wrong man, or maybe somebody's taking his place.
Ah, that's impossible.
Is it? How about the fellow who tried to make trouble for us in town today?
Don't be an idiot. His name is Bradford. He comes from Boston and he is stopping at the inn. Besides, he is here in the garden with my niece at this moment. And he must not find you here when they come in. Now go. I talk to you tomorrow.
I ain't waiting till tomorrow. I'm going to see what I can find out tonight.
Sancho.
Is that you, Bradito? Is something wrong?
Were you in town looking for me?
I have been waiting here in the cave.
I left De La Torres and rode to the inn. My room had been searched. A note I'd left for you was missing. A note with money for you to get out of California if I were discovered.
Oh, then somebody knows about you now, Bradito.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, Sancho. Got to do something about that leg of yours.
It will be all right in a few days.
We haven't got a few days. We've got to get you away from here to a safer place.
No, no. You are the one who must go. Someday when the Americans really come, then the land will be safe and you may return.
Yeah, the Americans are here now, Sancho.
No, no. I met men returning from town after I left you at the mission. The raising of the flag was a mistake. The commander of the ships had a false report of a war. Mexico again controls California.
Shh. Quiet, somebody comes. Quickly, Sancho. Get down behind the trunk.
All right, Bradford, don't move. Well, this is quite a layout, ain't it? So this was El Diablo's hideout, and you took it over.
How did you find this place?
I had to look through your room at the inn. And I stayed around until you came. I figured you'd run for cover when you found that note was missing, and I was right. So the devil had a son. Might have figured you'd come back, only you're not going to last as long as your father did.
You can
drop
your gun, Senor Dagger.
All right, Daggett, I'll take that.
Pretty tricky, ain't you? Throwing down on me behind my back. Brave, when you got an unarmed man.
Yeah, it didn't bother you when I was unarmed. Take this gun, Sancho. Throw it outside.
What?
And throw your own out, too.
Well, Bradito...
Do as I say.
There's still two of you against one, you know.
No, Dagger, just you and me. Sancho won't interfere. Can you use a rapier, Daggett?
Yeah. I can use one.
There's one on the wall behind you, under the devil masks. Take it. You've seen those masks in the past, haven't you, Daggett? My father's mark for men like you.
Yes, I've seen them. But you'll never put one on me. He's right, El Diablo. This is your last mistake.
And you weren't good, aren't you, Daggett?
Yeah. Next one, you won't be talking. I had the pleasure of killing your father. And this blade will do for you.
I'm glad you know that, Daggett, because that's going to cost you your life.
This is your finish.
You know, Bradito,
Yes. There's a chance nobody else has seen it. I want to look at his shoulder. There must be a rapier mark there.
Si, Bradito, si.
No mark, Sancho. Daggett was one of the mobs that killed my father, but he wasn't the leader.
And so from now on, you play a game of death in the dark with a man whose face you do not know?
Yes. But at least I know that the man responsible for the death of my family is still alive.
Bradito, Daggett's men will search for him tomorrow. We must bury him.
No, Sancho. He must be found. With a mark of El Diablo, the mask of the devil. I'll put the mask on him and strap his body to his horse and leave him near the town.
They will put a price on your head.
There's already a price on my head, Sancho. The price of a life for a life. Because men like Daggett must die for every innocent and helpless person they kill. If my father could carry that price on his head and pay it, then so can I. As long as there's injustice, as long as the good people of this country are at the mercy of the lawless, they'll have El Diablo to protect them.